Welcome, everybody, to a special episode of Cinema Royale. I am Travis Hobson, your host. And on this special edition, I have a chance to speak with Josh Speck and Will Gordon, the directors of Office Christmas Party. Yes, this is the film that did really well last week at the box office. Opened at number 2, behind Moana, I believe. And the film stars Jennifer Aniston, Jason Bateman, T.J. Miller, Kate McKinnon, Olivia Munn, Courtney B. Vance. It's got an amazing cast. Jamie Chung, Vanessa Beyer is in it, Randall Park, Jillian Bell. There's stars up and down the sheet on this one, man. And it's amazing. And you know what the movie's about. It's right there in the title, Office Christmas Party. If you can't figure out what the movie's about from that, then I don't know. I can't help you. But you know, it's got a great ensemble, and you know, I spoke with Speck and Gordon about it, and you know, the last film I remember from them was The Switch, which also had Jason Bateman and Jennifer Aniston. So I wanted to talk to them a little bit about working with those two, why they like working with those two so much, and what it was like managing so much talent all in one space, because I imagine that was the most difficult thing about the production. So here's my interview with Will Speck and Josh Gordon. I hope you enjoy it.
But anyway, I remember writing about this movie, I think, back in 2010.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I think it was when you guys were doing The Switch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a long journey for this movie.
It was.
Tell me about getting the whole thing done.
One of the hardest parts about making a movie that's set around the holidays is that if you don't make a December date in your development, the studio says, let's just wait a year. So it's not like, so the process has taken us a long time, but because we had a very narrow time that we could make it, which was always the spring, so if we didn't get the draft or the actors all coordinated at the right moment, we would wait till the next spring because we would always miss that December release date.
Huh.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like, we'll never do that again, make another holiday movie, because normally what happens is a movie will fall apart or come together, and then you can always sort of push it, you know, depending. You can say, I'll move the release date further down,
right,
or we'll wait till we get the next draft and we'll just start a month later.
Mm-hmm.
But with us, because of the holiday, it actually made the development process not much longer.
God, that's a lot of years just because of the freaking
holiday. Yeah, it is. I think it's also, you know, party movies are hard as a genre because, you know, you have to have a plot and you have to have a story that you can invest with the characters. But if there's too much plot, it can hijack the movie. It's a very light kind of filigree in a weird way.
Mm-hmm. So it took us a while developmentally to find the right story to tell.
Interesting. So you had basically a concept, but not really the story laid out.
Well, no, we actually did have a story. We didn't just, it wasn't, you know, we liked the concept because what we liked about it is that everyone understands what it is, and everyone's either been to an Office Christmas Party or knows someone who's gone to an Office Christmas Party. It's one of those common experiences like a bachelor party.
Which is why I like the title so much.
That's sort of the one night a year that you really live honestly with your other family, you know.
But originally our first pitch of the movie is not dissimilar, which was two guys that have to work together to throw an Office Christmas Party and the differences in their personality. But then what we started down the road with is what Josh was saying, which is, well, it needs something else. There needs to be more plot. And the original script with the original writers kind of, it was, they were all looking for a microchip, you know, at different points all over the building, and that's what drove
it. It became almost like a procedural with a party going on in the background.
I mean, because there was no model at the time, you know, Project X hadn't been made, Sisters hadn't been made, you know, it really could have been anything, and that's what the exploration process gave us. It's not like it's a wedding movie, it's a road movie, it's a body switching movie where there's definite tropes to the structure and story.
Yeah.
It was wide open. It was just, how do you make a movie about an Office Christmas Party?
We just knew we wanted to set it in one night.
Yeah.
I mean?
So and I think the other thing we wanted to do is avoid what has been done so well and so brilliantly, which is cubicle life and how much that stinks. You know, we didn't want to do Office Space, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to do the TV series The Office, which is great in its own way. We wanted this to feel like it was on a bigger scale and had some scope of, like, corporate America.
So and things have changed a little bit. I mean, I think people are happy to have a job now. It's not, you know what I mean?
I was going to bring that up, actually.
Yeah.
I was going to bring that up, actually, that, you know, in those years, things have changed. You know, one of the things that's going on in the background of this movie is that these people are facing a possible layoff.
Yeah, yeah. I think people are getting squeezed from sort of both sides. I think mm-hmm. corporate America has become a lot crueler to their workforce, mm-hmm. and people are, feel taken advantage of, and I think, you know, more ruthless, certainly. And I think there's also this culture of excessive rules, which are in some ways good, but also can produce an environment where people get pent up and they're not allowed to sort of embarrass themselves anymore.
They need
and
the
actually
party to let it
to
out.
Work the next day.
They need the party to let it all out, right?
Yeah, and so that's what makes the Christmas party so dangerous, because you're sort of saying, like, be real, but not too real. You know?
So which one of you had the really awful Christmas party that sparked this whole idea? I know one of you must have.
I think, you know, sadly,
we spend all of our time together.
We have not spent that much time apart, so it was probably a Christmas party that we've been at together. I think it was more the awkwardness of those Christmas parties, because we have a commercial production company that we're partners in, and it was just that thing of, like, watching, you know, the girl from accounting in a dress that's way too short, dancing to Lady Gaga in a Santa hat, where you're like, I don't ever want to see that again, that made us think, you know, it is that very specific thing where you get trapped with your coworkers and anything can happen. And then I think once we started making the movie, people came to us and told us stories of theirs that we included into the movie.
Okay. Because the thing, I've been through a few of those really awful Christmas parties back when I used to work in an office.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing that I always hated the most, and would make an awesome sequel, is the day after, or
that's
the Monday
really
after.
Yeah.
Is just the worst.
Well,
yeah.
Somebody told us this amazing thing that you're supposed to write the word tomorrow on your hand so that as you reach for that fourth drink, you realize that there's going to be a tomorrow.
The morning after, we tried to get a little bit of that when they come back to the offices to destroy. We tried to give that feeling of the morning after, but yeah, it's definitely, you don't want to look people in the eyes.
So working on, this is, I think, clearly the biggest movie you guys have done. At least it seems like it to me in terms of scope, I would say. Blades of Glory is bigger?
Logistically, Blades might have been a little trickier just in terms of the skating and the crowds. But this was a big movie. We knew we wanted to tell the story of not, like Will said, not office space or, you know, cubicle life. We wanted to tell a big corporation, downtown Chicago, and we wanted to sort of make a big movie. It's got big action and all those sorts of things. So logistically, it was a complicated movie to make. Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about managing sort of the, because there's some big sequences in this movie, but also a really huge, talented cast. Talk to me about kind of managing all of that. You know,
it was
like
hard. I mean, there was a logistical thing that was hard, which was scheduling all these actors, because you had Vanessa and Kate on SNL, so they would finish sometimes, and then on their off week, they would fly at 4 a.m, get to set by 6 a.m, we'd have them in hair and makeup at 8 a.m, they'd shoot for a week, and then they'd leave again for another week and do a full week of a show. We had, you know, Jennifer and Jason, who, you know, thankfully didn't have anything else going on, but it was a real checkerboard in terms of scheduling. And then
TJ does stand up.
But then once everybody was together, I think it felt infectious, and we were really lucky because there were no really bad eggs. Everyone got along, and they wanted to be around each other.
Mm-hmm.
They lingered around set. And in those scenes, like the conference room where everyone's in it, it was challenging because you have to decide, well, who am I going to shoot first, and how are we going to do that, and, you know, when are we going to turn around on each actor?
You know, any one of these people, it's like to use them as an extra in a scene, you're just like, we're leaving so much on the floor.
But we wanted it to be very democratic, and we wanted everybody, and if you notice, everybody does have a little arc. Everybody starts someplace and ends up someplace different, no matter who they are.
Because that's really the thing about an office Christmas party, is the cast system starts to break down, and everybody has the opportunity, from the intern to the IT guy to the CEO. Everybody has something that they need from that night or that they're hoping to get out of it. So
yeah, that's one of the things I was going to ask you guys about, was, you know, managing so many talented people. I mean, this isn't just one or two really funny people. You guys got 8, 9, 10, 11 really extremely funny people that could possibly carry their own movies.
Yeah.
You know, breaking all that down, it must have been, like you said, a real challenge.
It was hard,
We're
not going to lie to you. It was a challenge. You're picking up on the right thing. It was challenging, but I think we wanted to make it a real ensemble. We didn't want it to be a movie where it was like, you know, The Rock in Office Christmas Party, and there's, you know, 19 small actors that you've never heard of. We wanted to flip that structure yeah. make it 19 actors that were all sort
you
of...
You all want to see, and,
yeah.
And I think that's also why these people wanted to be in the movie with each other, because it wasn't... Some of these movies that have a big cast like this, everybody kind of works separately, you know what I mean? And they'll come in for their 2 weeks and then be done. This was like you're coming in and everybody's going to be in. It wasn't just the actors. We had 400 extras that we carried with us and actually cast and showed up every single day for 2.5 months. So it became this big company that we were all just sort of together with.
We talked a little bit about, you know, holiday movies and stuff like that. Did you guys find yourself drawing more of from holiday movies or party movies? Were there any major influences?
I know it's a terrible answer. A little bit of both. I think maybe more of the party movies, honestly. I think it's funny because there were movies that we, you know, it seemed like the fact that Die Hard takes place at the night of a Christmas party
yeah.
kind of amazing. You know, there's a Billy Wilder movie we love called The Apartment, and there was a whole sequence around an office Christmas party. We loved them dancing on desks, which is why Kate McKinnon and T.J. Miller in this and Courtney Vance dance on desks. I think we drew from the limited amount of sort of Christmas party stuff that was out there, but I think we looked to movies like Superbad and Hangover just in terms of how far you can take a party and how much a movie will absorb a party before it feels not believable. And
and I think we also wanted to, we knew or we were conscious that we weren't just making a raging party movie, that ultimately it did need to deliver sort of a Christmas or holiday message.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to have a heart, and it had to
so that's
be
the
about
last,
characters.
Yeah, the last
about.
5 to 10 minutes of the movie is about a Christmas movie. You know, I mean, that's what you sort of, we hope, expect to see.
You know, that ultimately people come together and take stock of their lives a little bit. So.
You guys got to work with Jason Bateman and Jennifer Aniston again. What is it about those two? There's something about those two together that I like.
Yeah.
What is it that you guys, you know, you guys
smart
are working a couple times now? So.
And I mean, Bateman for us is a little bit of a muse. You know, to us, he's, you know, talking about The Apartment. You know, he's a little bit like Jack Lemmon. He's just a great reactor, and he's great at the center of a lot of insanity.
But I think together she trusts him,
yeah.
you know, off screen, and I think when he plays the straight man, in a weird way, it gives her permission to be outrageous because there's a real sense that you're not going to lose your way because there's something guiding you.
Right.
So it's almost like she's the kite and he's the kid flying it. And I think together they, you know, have done things. I mean, I think in Horrible Bosses 2, she suggests that she's about to pee on him and they
yeah,
go off together.
She
you know what I mean?
Stuff,
and
yeah.
and I think, you know, in the breakup even in a very small scene, Jason plays a friend who's kind of a counselor to her and Vince Vaughn, and she's very outrageous in that scene. So I think there's something chemically about the two of them together, his grounded energy that allows her to sort of go, and I think that was what was essential here.
Were there times where you ever just let the cast just kind of fly off on their own and just kind of do their own thing?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we spent a lot of time working on the script and wanted, you know, to make sure that all the arcs worked. But ultimately, you can't have a cast this talented and, like, you know,
right.
make them read the script 3 times. And so there were definitely moments, especially Kate up on stage, you know, especially TJ, you know, he's so verbal with his comedy, where you just kind of go, yeah, let's just do another one. you know, well, you, know, you kind of step back and let them fly.
I have to imagine that the extras are going to be crazy for this. How insane was it just on set? How much stuff did you guys leave out? I mean,
I think what we realized early on, and we were questioning this, and then we're really happy we did it, is that our ensemble would sort of stay intact. That for the most part, they don't really go off the rails in terms of their sobriety. Walter Davis, Courtney B. Vance does,
yeah.
but the core group is really just there to sort of service the story and hold the center. And I think that gave us permission to sort of create a tornado around them. So what we spent a lot of our time doing with these unruly groups of extras is getting them in different... We had 4 stages that we told all of our ADs and our wardrobe department and our prop department, and it was sort of like the beginning of the party, you know, stage 2 was they've had a few drinks, they're getting kind of hot, they're loosening their ties. Stage 3 is, you know, they're really sort of at their peak, and stage 4 is mayhem, like where the horse runs through. And I think, you know, it was a lot to manage 400 people in four different stages, but we feel like it allowed our gang to sort of run through that and have that chaos surrounding them so that the audience felt like, wow, this party is actually really going somewhere, and it's not just people standing in the back holding drinks, shaking their heads to fake music, but that they were really kind of getting in each other's face. And there's a scene where Aniston walks through the crowd sort of at stage three, and, you know, they were really
kept telling them, you know, bumper harder, push
your leg or something harder, so that it felt as real as possible.
But in terms of the other extras, which are the DVD extras and all that kind of stuff, we did...
Oh, I might have missed one. Is that your question?
Oh, well, that's part of it, too. I mean,
extras mean a lot of things.
I didn't realize that it could have been taken that way, too.
Luckily, a lot of the... We were able to kind of... This movie, in a great way, this concept, is a sponge for all the best stuff that we shot, and so... We pretty much feel like the best stuff is in the movie, but there will definitely be an extended cut of the movie with other jokes. And I mean, some of these jokes were 3 or 4, you know, deep, and we would test them with different audiences, and they'd all get big laughs, and we kind of go, well, I guess it's just dealer's choice. We'll just put the one that we like the best in.
One of the great things about holiday movies or Christmas movies is that they have potential to be, you know, they become, unlike other holidays, they become iconic quickly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and people, they become part of people's rhythm, like they'll watch. We even have people that watch Die Hard every year.
Right.
As
no,
a Christmas movie,
too.
You know. And so there is, that's our hope, is that people will connect to the movie and want to revisit it, you know.
Yeah. Well, I know for me, I would love to watch it back to Bad Santa, and I'll be happy.
All right. All right. Well, that's a good combo.
All right. That's my interview with Will Speck and Josh Gordon, directors of Office Christmas Party. That movie's in theaters now. It's doing well, so it should be in theaters for a good little while, at least through Christmas, which I think people are going to go and have fun with it. I hope you enjoyed it. You can check this interview out right here on Blog Talk Radio or over at FunstruntCritics.com. Thanks. Bye.